and welcome to Food Rebels. I'm your host, AJ Sharp, taste expert, food writer, PR agency owner, and taste expert for a number of different food awards, actually, including Great Taste, who I judge for. Food Rebels is the radio show and podcast that brings you the most exciting new brands, food experts, and live on-air tastings. And we love showcasing the rebellious side of the food world. We're on our final show of our Guild of Fine Food takeover, and I'm joined here again in the studio by Christabel Cairns, the Operations and Marketing Director at the Guild of Fine Food, driving force behind Great Taste. Welcome back, Christabel.
Thanks for having me back.
It's really exciting. Last week, if you tuned in, we were talking about 30 years of Great Taste and the journey of this incredible award scheme. This week, we want to focus on Great Taste and what the awards are today. We know that they've just, literally, it's just open for entries, hasn't it, Christabel?
It has. So we're in the middle of Members Fortnight, which is a bit we do for Guild of Fine Food members, and they get to enter earlier at a slightly lower rate. And then on Monday, on the 22nd of January, we're going to open for general entry, which basically means any food producers can enter, and they'll be able to do that until the 6th of February.
And you do cap it sometimes, don't you?
We do. So if by any chance we reach our entry cap, so we have, you know, all the entry places have gone by the before the 6th of February, we will close it early. So if you're thinking about entering, you need to get on with it.
Yeah, exciting. We'll also be finding out a bit more about the Golden Forks, which is the culmination of the Great Taste scheme. And this is when the Supreme Champions announced and all the Golden Fork winners, and it's a really incredible awards ceremony. And today we're joined by a Great Taste Golden Fork three-star winner, Lucia Larahoiti Fisher. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, who is from La Moritou, and they make the most incredible Basque, which is known as a San Sebastian. It's a type of cheesecake, isn't it? And it's a family business.
Yes.
Welcome. So great to have you here.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Can you tell me a little bit about your business? You run it with your sister, don't you?
Yes. So the business started with my older sister, Maria, hence the name of La Maritou. And Maria lives in Ecuador, and she started selling these Basque cheesecakes, typical from the Basque country. And then a few months later, I was in London, and I could see as well many restaurants, and it was kind of trending, the Basque in general food, but of course the Basque cheesecake, it was quite well known. So I started it in London, and then my youngest sister, she came over, and we are together now in London.
Oh, it's fantastic. And you've actually brought some in, and we're going to taste it in a little bit. But before we do that, I just want to hear a bit more from Christabel about the Great Taste Award scheme, how it is today, because we've heard about how it is in the past and how it started with 246 products in 1994. And now it's 2024 and it's 30 years later. What's the scheme like nowadays?
Predominantly a lot bigger is probably where to start off. So it's that we had 14,205 products last year. And we'll be judging the same this year. But probably what hasn't changed is we still judge everything blind. So, you know, there's no packaging, there's no brand names involved. And, you know, the producer will still get that range of opinions, which has always been so important to make sure that there's a fair judging process, that you're taking out any subjectivity. And it's also open to producers of all sizes. So Lucia's business is, you know, she's just mentioned, it's mainly her, and we'll probably hear a bit, but she's actually, until very recently, was an architect as well.
Oh, wow.
A multi-talented lady. But she won in her first year of entering, one of the biggest prizes in Great Taste. So she won the Golden Fork for Startisan Award of the Year, which I guess is just a brilliant story, because it shows how, even if you're a very small and relatively new business, you can still kind of stand up against some of the bigger brands who might have those huge marketing budgets. And, you know, that's the whole point of Great Taste, to discover some really great tasting food and drink.
I think people are always surprised to hear how the majority of the people that enter into Great Taste are all much smaller producers than you would imagine.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we do the sort of numbers each year, and I guess you do see Great Taste Awards on supermarket shelves. That's true. But, you know, sort of 80-90% are small to medium-sized businesses. Mm. And I guess you sort of hear about the bigger companies because they've got, again, those marketing budgets to shout about. But what's really important to us, you know, we stagger the entry fees. So if you're smaller, you pay less. We had a bursary scheme this year. So that was micro-producers. So we define that as sort of one or two people, turnover of less than 100 grand, and very new businesses who hadn't entered Great Taste before. that's the majority of our entrants, and it's really important. Lucia's bought one of her cheesecakes today, but we always say to the judges, you know, products are a bit like people's babies. They've turned up. We need to do them justice. You know, some of them have literally dropped them off at our front doors of our offices, and you want to see every product do well.
You feel that weight of responsibility. I've judged now for, 8 years, something like that. And you really feel a sense of responsibility when you're judging something, that you have to give it the time it deserves. Even if it's the last item of the day or the last item before lunch or things are happening, you have to still stop and go, hang on, somebody has put a lot of time and effort into this product and it deserves our attention.
Absolutely. I mean, that 14,000 products or just over represents well over 3,500 companies, and they come from 109 countries around the world. So that those numbers can kind of, well, they can both be a bit meaningless because it's just numbers. But also, if you just think about that amount of people, and one company might have 5 or 6 people that on, you know, at the end time that the results come out at the end of July, beginning of August, are going to be anxiously, you know, getting into the computer and finding out what they've done and reading that feedback. So it's just really important that the judges take that seriously and, you know, feedback useful stuff to the producers.
And can you describe an average judging day? I'll add how we experience it as well. But when you set up the judging room for everyone to come in, what does that look like?
The best way I can describe it is it's a bit like a restaurant, because everybody's, you know, seen how that works. So you'll have various tables of judges. So if you like your restaurant guests, and they'll all be experts in the food industry. And we spend quite a bit of time making sure those panels of people are balanced, because you might have a journalist who will look at something in a little bit of a different way to, let's say, a product development person or a retailer. And it's really important that you kind of got all those opinions being heard. And then we've got a chef in the kitchen cooking some of our hot products. We've got waiters and waitresses who are a great taste team, making sure all those products are sort of being delivered in their best state. We judge everything blind tasted, which means it's decanted. So if you've got a jar of jam, that's decanted into a clean empty jar, so you can't see any of the branding. And then the judges will work through, and this is where I'm sure you'll have some things to say, a huge mix of products. So, you know, you're not finding the best cheese, you'll taste a cheese and then a steak and then a biscuit and a jam, and you're really looking at everything on its own merits. So if everything is really, really good, it could all legitimately win a 3-star.
But it never does, interestingly. I think the most I've ever seen 3 stars in one day was probably 3.
Yeah, I mean, to get a 3-star, it's got to be really brilliant. We always say, if you see a 3-star on a shelf, don't leave the shop without buying it. We want to be able to say that confidently, which means that pretty much all the judges in the room have got to have agreed. So that's going around several palettes, different opinions, and they've all got to say, yeah, this is the best Bass cheesecake I've ever tasted, the best strawberry jam I've ever tasted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what gives it its credibility.
And that's it. So we'll come in as judges, and there may be, I don't know, 40 so judges maybe in the room. You'll be on a table where there may be 2, 3 or 4 of you. And you've got probably 20 or so products out on the table in front of you. And you'll have a little chat and you'll decide which are the least kind of punchy or spicy or garlicky or peppery. And you'll start with the milder ones and you'll work all the way through to the stronger tasting ones. And that's just to protect your palate. The added element, which really appeals to my ADHD brain, is that there's hot food coming in from left and right at any point, where hot food has to be prioritised. So the minute that arrives at the table, you have to taste it when it's absolutely at its most perfect point. And Jamie's incredible, isn't he? The chef there, he'll always have a little label on the top that'll say, leave to rest, do not taste before 11 o'clock or something like that, so you'll know.
Absolutely, and that's back to making sure some of these products have travelled a long way to get there, and we want to make sure that they're tasted in the best possible state. Judging's quite hard work, as you'll kind of attest to. You know, people think that, I want to be a great taste judge, it must be the best job in the world. It's great, you get to discover amazing products, but it's got that weight of responsibility, and you've got to give everything a fair hearing, and you've got a lot of food to get through and different varieties, and your knowledge has got to be quite broad, and you've got to sort of speak up when you don't know some things to get other experts in the room. So it's, you know, your concentration needs to keep going.
Yeah, and you're pulling in a lot of different skills at the same time, particularly if you're a coordinator on the table. So each table will have a coordinator, a sort of team captain, who is not more important than any other judge. They're simply collating the results, but also adding their own judgment into them. You're also having to sort of negotiate where you may have two other judges. One thinks it's marvellous and the other one doesn't think it's much at all. And then you're sort of trying to get your own judgment in and debate it until you come to an accord on your table. Very, very rarely has there not been an accord, but occasionally I've put my hand up and said, can you just take this one away? We can't agree.
Yeah, and then that's when we send it around the room, and that's why we've got lots of people there, so we can make sure we've got that kind of democratic as much as possible agreement at the end.
And for a three-star, I mean, ones and twos, they will always go to at least probably six different judges, will have tasted those products and gone, yeah, no, we all agree, it's unfortunately, it's no award. And that, of course, happens to the majority of the products that are entered into the scheme. Then if it's a one or a two, they will have to be tasted by more people. But a three-star, you almost have to have every single person in the room agreeing that this is a three-star. And that's where it, you know, that product will go around the room. But you can tell when there's a three-star in the room because everyone gets twittery and excited and there's energy and there's sort of, oh my God, you have to taste this.
Yeah, it's funny. You can sort of, there's a bit of energy and there's a bit of silence at the same time where people are just sort of thinking and then, you know, seeing, oh, how much more could I take before it needs to go to the next table? But to put into context, this cheesecake is looking at me from across the desk in the studio here. But to put into context what Luthea's done with her product. So you got a three-star for your award, which would have been the top 250 products.
Out of 14,000.
Out of 14,000. So it's about 1.5%.
Wow.
So it's pretty incredible. And, you know, all those people have got to agree. But then those 250 products are rejudged in a finals day that we held at the end of judging. And so we get to send another cheesecake in, and the other 250 products all send them in as well. And then the products are, we do pick out the top ones. So we pick out the top products in certain regional things. So, you know, we'll have the top product from England, we'll have the top product from Spain. And what Luthea's product won was a product from a very small company. So we called it Startisan. And that is, small number of people, one or two people in the company, a fairly recent company. And they've basically scored the highest out of all those products.
Incredible. So out of those 250, how many awards were then given?
I think we had 16 Golden Forks this year.
16. And you got one of those, Luthea.
Yeah.
What was it like on the day?
Amazing. we like such a small team, as you explained, like we couldn't believe, like we had to re-listen everything that you said, like out of 14,000, only 1.8 received the 3 stars out of those 250. Then only 16, and wow, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I was there that night. I just remember like squeals of excitement coming from that corner.
Yes, yes.
And we all rushed over to come and taste the cheesecake after that.
Yeah. It was a great night, and for us, like, celebrating as well, because it's true that it's been a lot of effort. Even though it's our only product, we did put all our effort. And if someone asks what is it, the special thing is, I'd say we put a lot of love, because at the end of the day, my sister and myself, we are baking them. And we know most of the times where currently we are having more and more orders, and it's very difficult to track the cakes. But at the beginning, and these past 2 years has always been, okay, we have one order for Mary. And it's not that we were thinking of Mary, but we've baked every cheesecake with a lot of care and love. And that is something that is quite nice to, after like being, and of course, like the cheesecake is really good, and yeah, it tastes amazing.
Well, can we taste? We're going to taste, yes, a little bit of it.
Yes.
And while we're tasting that, because it's not very interesting on radio for people to hear us eating, can you tell us a little bit about how you make this?
Yes. Yes. So the recipe is very
so good. Sorry, so good.
The recipe is very simple, and is not a very elaborated. So I know how bakery and especially cakes, they need to, they are quite elaborated in terms of toppings and things like that. So this cheesecake, the elaboration, the process is quite simple. We mix all the ingredients together. The main ingredients are the cream cheese, the sugar, the eggs, and cream.
And there's no sort of base to it, is
there? There's no base of biscuit, and there's no jam.
There's no jam, but there's this beautiful golden brown,
yes,
sort of caramelized gorgeousness on the top, isn't
there?
Yes,
yes. So the fact that the cheesecake is baked at high temperature, especially the last minutes of the baking, we do bake at higher temperature so that it's naturally burnt actually. Like, it's not, some people ask us if whether we've done like the creme brulee.
Oh, like a torch or something.
Yes, yes. But no, what we do is we bake them, and then in the last minutes of the oven, we turn them up so that it gets a bit burnt and naturally caramelized. And then the fact that it doesn't have the biscuit below, it makes it very rich in flavor. Like, you can only taste the cheesecake that is very soft and creamy, even though I like the biscuit in general. Like, I really like biscuits, but you concentrate just on the cheesecake.
It's amazing.
So smooth and just, well, creamy, as you just said, but it's delicious.
But there's like this lactic from the dairy that's come through that's almost slightly zesty lemony, but obviously you haven't added any lemon, have you?
No.
But there is that zing in this sort of very creamy, not overly sweet, perfectly sweet, really well-balanced product. It's
Yeah, I mean, you sort of imagine taking a huge spoonful of, and it was quite a huge spoonful that I took, of Bass cheesecake, and it's not in any way cloying. It's very smooth, and yeah, as you say.
It's leaving my mouth watering.
Almost, yeah.
I just want to eat some more and eat some more. It's there's something very Moorish about it. How's it been since winning the awards? What's happened with your business?
So we were growing. We were since we started, it was a growing process all the time. At the beginning, little by little, but at that point, we already had plans for opening a shop. So it was great, the fact of winning, because then we were able to get to be known much better and very quickly.
Your marketing was put on turbo charge, I'm imagining.
And actually, when we opened the shop 1 week ago, the only decoration that we have at the moment is
your trophy. The golden fork trophy.
Yes, the golden fork. And because there's that, and there's some flowers and so on, some cheesecakes for display. But a lot of people ask, what is this? And then I explain, like, because it's, there is a lot of people that know about it, but then there's others that, yes, I know the sticker because I've seen it and this is a quality, but they don't know how, like, okay, there's 14,000 products judged and so. And so, yeah, we explain it.
And for somebody like you guys to have, you know, you set up the business, was it 2 years ago?
Yes.
And to already have won one of the top accolades in a global accreditation scheme like Great Taste is just, it's so unusual.
Yeah, we noticed. We noticed, especially when we were in the awards and we got to chat with the rest of the producers, and we could see their faces. And when we talked and they said, we've been 20 years after one star, we've been, and then we realized that when we got back, like, wow, like this, it means a lot. But it's true that we are young. We're not in the hospitality and the food industry, or now we are, but we haven't been before. So we are still processing how big this is.
Oh, it's just incredible. I mean, from your point of view, is it as rare as I'm guessing it is?
It is, yeah. I mean, it really is. I mean, we have some, you know, there's always like an amazing, I love Great Taste because you find something every year. So, you know, last year there was a delicious, it was a soy sauce alternative called Noya sauce.
Oh, yes.
Which was just great. And then you also had there's a company called Mr. Vicky's who make chutneys and chili jams and stuff, who are really consistent winner. And still, you know, this year they had two or three stars. So it's sort of, you get that balance between completely new discoveries and brand new people and companies, and then consistent winners. And I think that's what's great about it.
The feedback that we're asked to put down as judges, it's very comprehensive. You know, we try and highlight the things we really liked, or we highlight as kindly as possible why something may not have scored more highly. And you actually find, you get feedback, don't you, that some of the producers take that feedback and actually go and tweak their product.
Exactly. And tweaking, I think, is probably quite a good way of putting it. So, as you know, AJ, you know, you taste something and you're like, oh, it's a one star, and it's sort of, it's so close to being a two star, but if only you had a bit more salt or a slightly more balanced acidity or something. And then people who have listened to that and they come back and they enter it the following year, and you know, they then walk away with a three star. And I think it's lovely to hear that, and it's great to hear that people are kind of open to that feedback and listening to it.
Yeah, was it Jacob from Soisy? He was telling me a story about that, where he'd started with a one star maybe 20 years ago and every year had taken on this feedback.
Exactly. And you know, I know you've had Dhruv on this show before, who makes Tempest charcuterie, and he always talks about kind of looking at the feedback and taking a deep breath and kind of taking it on board. And
after a day of being annoyed.
Yeah, or happy, or, you know, he's had some great wins in the past. But as you say, people are entering products as their babies, so they think it's going
to
be...
Well, it means a lot, doesn't it? And you've put it in, so you think it's already perfect. And then to have somebody say, actually, it needs a little more balance, or what about a bit more acidity? It's hard to hear, but, you know, Dhruv, when he came on the show here, was saying how he'd gone away and actually tweaked a few products and had more 3 stars this year than he'd ever had before.
Absolutely, yeah.
But he's been entering consistently year after year and listening to the feedback, which is absolutely, you know, incredible.
I also like hearing the stories of people whose businesses grow. I mean, Lithia, you mentioned that before you were making all these cheesecakes at home, and that you and your sister were, I think you said at one point, creating 100 cheesecakes home per week.
Yeah.
And you just couldn't deal with your orders. And so now you've got this commercial premises. I know you're only a week in, but it's that kind of thing. And I guess your challenge is how you make it consistently good going forward. And, you know, that scaling issue, which is a challenge sometimes.
Yeah, that's actually what you were speaking about earlier, of how great is that most of the prices are for small businesses or for small producers. And I think it has to be with that, no? Like the fact of keeping the quality, because it's very difficult to make big amounts and big quantities and keep the quality, the consistency. And we are now realizing, especially the day, the week before opening, we had to try the ovens, because every oven is... And until we got to a point where we say, okay, now we got it. It's true that we could have started baking until, but it's very nice to be able to produce in big quantities, but we need to be careful to keep everything as it was. Yeah, it's amazing to be able to now have like a proper place to bake.
And I think you're not alone in that commitment to consistency. And that's, you know, what customers want as well. If they find something and it's got an award on it, they want to be able to come back and buy it again and again and again.
And by making it yourself, you have that level of control that you don't otherwise. I was talking to Pam and James Digver from Sauce Shop, who've done very well in the Great Taste Awards accreditation, having got lots of 3 stars. But they'd looked at outsourcing their manufacturing and then very quickly had snatched it back in-house and gone, no, we want to control this. We want to control the quality. We want to maintain this level of flavour that we know that only we can do.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I completely agree that we'll have to see now what we do, because for us it's quite recent, all this growing, and especially growing exponentially we need to keep an eye, of course. But yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Christabel, who was the supreme champion at the Golden Forks this year?
So it was a company called Roussas Dairy, and they produce a cheese. It's a spreadable soft cheese, and it's called Galatiri. It's really interesting, that one, because Roussas produce a lot of feta. If you actually kind of keep an eye out for it, you see their brand in a lot of places. But Galatiri is a really relatively new product for the UK, definitely, or at least it's harder to find. And it's got this amazing kind of what we were talking about earlier, but this amazing like lactic, lemony, citrusy zing, really smooth. People, you know, spread it on toast, but there was a lot of judges just saying, I'm going to keep this in the fridge and spoon it out of the pot.
And my favourite, I think, or not my favourite, but one of the ones I really was impressed by was the soy sauce.
That was amazing, yeah. So it was a brewed soy sauce from Taiwan.
Brought a film crew with them, didn't they?
It was really
brilliant.
They
were so lovely.
I mean, I think you might have been one of the people that said it, actually, but about people came up to me in the awards ceremony saying, oh my God, I've cried about 4 times this evening. One when you guys won with your cheesecake, one when the Taiwanese winners won. I can't even think now who else was there, but yeah, we had some...
It was emotional, and you were on the stage there in front of these sort of 300 or 400 people and telling the story behind some of these brands and the journeys they'd gone through and the difficulties they'd faced, and seeing people win and the genuine excitement, like you guys jumping around everywhere going nuts. And I remember the lady on the soy sauce stand, she was so overcome, she couldn't even speak, could she? Her colleague had to take over the interview with Nigel Barden. She was just completely overwhelmed. It was It actually brings tears to my eyes now, just thinking about it.
A Hungarian man who'd won the pumpkin seed oil, and he was equally just emotional because, you know, people put a lot of hard work into these products and it really means a lot to be recognised.
Yeah, and they've flown over from Hungary and they've brought their, you know, their team with them. It's a huge thing, isn't it? It's a big thing.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the soy sauce, and we've talked about it so many times because it was very emotional. And as well, the soy sauce is really, really good. I also remember the Spanish products because at the beginning we thought, because the award for the Spanish products was already given and we didn't know which category, so we said congratulations. And then, yeah, it was a different one. So it's great.
True. So yes, you thought your moment had passed.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
And we made the golden forks a lot more international this year, deliberately so, because in the past we'd focused on regions in the UK and in Ireland, and actually there's 109 countries that enter Great Taste, so it was really important to us to make sure that the final set of awards reflected that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge percentage, isn't it, that are actually entries coming from around the world.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's growing every year, actually, I think, and it's, you know, what we're seeing here in the UK where people are concerned about where their food comes from and want to know about it, that's happening worldwide, so it's great to see so many artisan producers doing well.
It's absolutely incredible. Before we go, Lithia, where is your shop? I forgot to ask. How do we buy your incredible cheesecake?
Yes, so the shop is in 12 Connaught Street in this little village called Connaught Village. It's close to Paddington and Marble Arch.
Okay, so right in the centre of London. What's the closest tube stop?
I'd say Marble Arch and Paddington.
Okay, Marble Arch and Paddington.
And are you still doing all your weekend food markets as well?
Yes,
keeping busy? Yeah.
Yes, yes. We go to Sloane Square on Saturdays, one Saturday a month, and Chiswick on the third Sunday of the month. And then we go to Ali Pali on North London, and Oval and Balham in South London on Saturdays. So we have on our website that they can also order and pre-order in advance.
Can they have that delivered around the UK?
Yeah, in London.
Only London,
The moment
I was thinking,
London.
You've got to keep that flat, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
I would not trust Hermes with that.
No. We deliver in London, and most of the times goes well, but it's true that some couriers, we always say, it's the very delicate. It's very delicate. Please keep horizontal. But yes, we deliver in London. And
oh, fantastic. So if you're in London, you have to get down to Connaught Street and try this cheesecake. Can people buy just individual slices?
Yes.
They can,
yes.
Amazing.
With a coffee, I think, in the shop.
Coffee. And we have plans to pair it with wine as well in a few months. The concept of the store will be the cheesecake and coffee, and also a glass of wine.
Fantastic. It does, doesn't it? So we will make sure that we share the details of La Moritou, their website and things like that, on our website and on our socials, so you guys can find this. Absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for coming in, Lithia, and bringing this incredible cheesecake with you. Absolutely divine.
Thank you.
But we're out of time. Thank you so much, Christabel. I've absolutely loved the Guild of Fine Food takeover of Food Rebels.
No, it's been brilliant. Thanks for having us.
It's been absolutely brilliant. You've showed such a passion for all the different food things, and I'm just in awe of the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes at the Guild of Fine Food to put on all these incredible shows and events. Absolutely amazing. You've been listening to Food Rebels, which is available on radio stations around the UK. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Audible. Please remember to subscribe and rate us with 5 stars if you think we are good enough. It makes a huge difference to our podcast. We're also on Instagram @_food_rebels. So give us a follow. And if you'd like to come on the show, just get in touch. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you taste the rebellion.